Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know. From masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 752. Bobby.
Bobby. Barbara.
If you're from the East Coast, Bobby.
Bobby.
Yeah. Bobby's World.
That's a great show.
So what's his face?
Howard Mandel.
Howard Mandel.
Yeah, Howard Mandel. That's who that was.
Howard the Duck. Yeah. 7 degrees of Howie Mandel. Yeah.
So this is one of the rare doll comes to life movies where the doll doesn't start killing people.
Mannequin.
Okay. Well, that's a mannequin. That's not a doll.
I mean, she was a doll.
Depends.
You can't.
Can't what?
You can't play with a mannequin.
That guy certainly did in that movie.
The manager of JCPenney asked me to leave.
So, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair, yes. Yeah. But you're not wrong, though.
But most of them, mm-hmm. when they come to life,
they kill you.
They start killing people.
Yeah. God damn.
It's not what's going on here. So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Before we dig in proper, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, iHeart, TuneIn. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, follow us so you never miss an episode. Leave us a review. Super helpful. Or a rating. That's also helpful.
Oh, yeah.
You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/RealSpoilers. Oh, we also have a group. Like the page, join the group. There we go. I'm getting slowly waking up.
52 episodes into this thing.
I'll get it down here eventually. It's called the League of Show Shares because we're hoping you'll share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode last week include Jason Weese, Ralph Tribble, Chris Valls, Brendan McGuckin, Glenn Cougar Mellenbrewer, Gabriel Lugo, Travis Tewitt, Julianne Jordan, Brad Hyen, Chris Magic Man, Tom Dowdy, Phil Timon, Josh Rosen, Christopher Rex, Heather Sachs, Edit Photo Gamer, Cinema Recall, Dissect That Film, Invasion of the Remake, Colby Mack, David Rojas, Geek to Me Radio, Feelin' Film, In Session Film, Spoiler Piece Theater, Ryan Terry, Nostalgia Cast, Ronnie Castle, Binge Movies, and Matt Naglia. Also, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content, and we like you extra.
Yeah, and we just finished our, what did we do? Thor. Is recorded and done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Finally, don't forget you can watch all of these over there on the YouTube. That's
we're not really
with
promoting
the kids.
That anymore.
No. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, never mind.
What we should start saying is don't forget to click that subscribe button.
Yeah.
Smash that subscribe button. Because if you smash it, it stays in and you can't unsubscribe.
That's the way that works, I guess.
See, I'm old enough where smash meant
However you press that subscribe button.
When they
button,
say
we
smash
don't...
the subscribe button, I'm like, whoa.
Hey, man, you do you.
What? Not on my YouTube
I guess you probably would. If, yeah, not on my
if
YouTube
I,
channel.
If I keep that counter I keep up 24-7 just on my monitor and that goes up by one, it doesn't matter to me.
I don't care.
It's how like Ghostbusters. He's like, we got one.
Yeah, that's
I
right.
Do.
I don't care how we do off. It.
And speaking of, thank you very much to Bethrin-RP2YN. Subscribed. Kevin better be happy. He is.
Oh, okay. Very good.
So
very
is that
good.
One of your alt accounts?
Yeah.
Is that Ryan?
No, it's Bethrin-RP2YN. Oh,
that's
so
fair. That's
thank
fair.
You very much.
Yeah. I'm trying to like piece like go through your family's name and like mm-hmm. move letters around.
Well, hold on. That's pretty funny. Catherine is my wife and Ryan is my son. Bethrin R2YN.
I'm just saying. Mm. Yeah, you may
is
have
this
just
a family account you, that
you,
I didn't know.
You may have just divulged your own secret.
Yes.
No, thank you very much, Bethrin RP2YN. We appreciate it.
Who's not in any way, shape, or form related to Kevin.
Yeah, thanks, Katie and Ryan.
Yeah. Well, I hope Katie isn't related to Kevin.
I don't judge. I mean, I probably would.
I would absolutely judge. I think we're allowed to judge that. It's one of the few things
so?
Left that you're allowed to be like,
that's fair.
Dude, that's messed up.
Even in Missouri?
Yeah.
Well, we live in the blue
part. We're in the blue circle.
Yeah, so we're allowed to judge.
Yeah. So, we're hoity-toity.
Yes. I guess let's dig in.
So before we dig in, I want to talk about the audience that I had.
Right.
Which was...
Packed.
It was packed, which is crazy, right? Yeah. Like, the Draft House has been open... 6 months,
yeah.
Maybe. I've never gone to a movie there where it's sold out.
The sold out one.
I've never done it. I was shocked. I went to buy tickets Wednesday, Thursday or Wednesday.
Yeah, I went to buy tickets on Monday for Saturday.
And it was just every screening. Every screening.
And
was
not
sold.
The kid-friendly ones. There's ones that are even like, those. Okay, bring your kids and they'll do talkie-talks or whatever.
Oh, does Ben Shapiro edit out all the woke stuff for the kids? Is that what that is?
But I was looking at Saturday and talk about it. It's not like, oh, it's on this one big screen. It's like, no, it's on six screens and it's like one every 2 hours or whatever. Yep. And we're talking about sold out. So, and you know, maybe two seats left or whatever, but just...
My screening was probably 80% full.
Okay.
And I saw it on Thursday at 3 o'clock in
that's
the afternoon.
Crazy. Right?
I pulled a true Barbenheimer.
Oh, did you really?
I saw Barbie at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
I saw Oppenheimer at 6 o'clock.
And that's
we,
a day.
And we had, you know, 40 minutes to eat our dinner from the concession stand, which
yum.
Cost us $85.
Jeepers, creepers.
To feed four people at the concession stand.
Oh, yeah. Well, at the Draft House, it'll be more than that.
And you wonder why people don't go to the movies.
Yeah.
Or even, I mean...
But in the movie studio or theater's defense, the business model is set up in a way that they get almost no money.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, like, that's...
No, it's not their fault. It's just the fact is, it is expensive to go to the movies. And, you know, we go every week because we do it for the show, but most people... go once or twice a year. Like
right.
A lot of people go, you know,
it's
and
it's a big event,
right? Yeah. If you spend 100 and something on all the stuff, okay, we're going to the movies.
It's a big deal.
I mean, I bought, it was Ryan's birthday, so we took him to Barbie and I got him, he wanted a icy or whatever. That's fine, you know, large icy, $8.10, you know, and two popcorns. So it's like,
no. I will say that the Draft House, they do give you, like it's and you know bottomless soda and bottomless popcorn.
Yeah, but who wants to get up in the middle of the movie to go get a refill?
I know it has to be bottomless pee.
Right.
Well, I was like, put
a little urinal in each.
But that's Draft House, you don't have to.
Anyway, I made it through Oppenheimer.
Did you really?
Believe it or not, I was.
How many times did you pee after Barbie? That's the question.
I peed once as soon as it was done.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and then
precaution.
And then a preventative urination
good.
Before Oppenheimer started.
What did I do that where I flipped the movies and it was...
You saw them in the wrong order?
It was Midsommar in the second Spider-Man movie, and I saw Midsommar first, and I just could not get into Spider-Man because my head was so off the rails.
That's
because,
a movie that'll live in
your head. Was off the... Oh, never mind. That's a different movie.
That's Hereditary.
Never mind.
But I remember like sitting there during Spider-Man just being like, I know I like this movie, but god damn
it. That's
like
that probably is the way to do it because some people are like, oh, because you can uplift, you know, after seeing the whatever. But it's like, but if you can't stop thinking about the one that really affects you.
I couldn't stop thinking about Barbie. There's a lot to unpack in
there's
this
a lot.
Oh, for
and
sure.
I think it's
sure.
a really smart, it's very, very, very smart.
Hot take, I like Barbie better.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, we'll
Barbie's...
save it for our Oppenheimer episode.
Yeah.
But I was, I mean... I liked it.
But Barbie's got to be the, I mean, that's the more populous movie, like entertainment wise.
Yeah. But that's, okay, so that's my question, right? It's about, well, this audience, right? So it's mostly couples. It's a bunch of, it's very.
But mostly couples. You saw the Alamo.
I did.
If you went to my Marcus screening,
yeah,
it's mostly kids and families.
Groups
and,
of women.
Yeah. I mean, that this is a true four quadrant hit. That's yes, why this that's, thing. It was estimated to open.
Well, I would say three quadrants because I would think.
You don't think older?
I don't. Men. I mean, I don't know. I mean, look.
They're doing. No, they're
as
doing
a man,
it for the,
I like this movie.
They're doing
like,
it for same. The Oppenheimer, the Barbenheimer yeah. thing. I'm telling you, they captured men.
Yeah.
It may not be as much as like a Mission Impossible, but I will tell you what, there was a surprising amount of men.
There were two, and I was one of them.
I think I had a large
three,
number of
Brian
men.
Went. Yeah. But,
because,
yeah.
because of the couples movie, and then also, if you look on social media, people with Barbenheimer t-shirts, like, this thing has taken off. We are going to see studios try to replicate this, and
oh,
you just
yeah.
can't because it was organic.
Yeah. yeah.
And so they're going to try to pit... It's Craven and what's the other one? There's some like a good movie and then Craven come out and they're going to try to do it and it's going to be dumb.
Bottoms. I yeah. don't know. There's
No. But, I mean, there's like a Nolan-esque. There's a good movie and then there's
like
Craven.
Like a big movie.
And they're going to try to do it. We're going to see it time and it's going to fail.
Yeah, every single time.
This just was so... But it was projected a month ago to open Barbie to open to 55 to 85 million. And then the updated projections the week before were 130... To 155.
Golly, I don't think that's because of Oppenheimer, though. I think that's because their projections have been crap coming out of the pandemic. They've yeah. been really bad. And I think that they were, and I think there's a lot of people going to see Barbie that don't go to the movies as frequently mm-hmm. that weren't getting scooped up in those estimates. I think, if anything, Oppenheimer got a bump off of Barbie
sure.
more than Barbie
could've,
got a bump off
for
of Oppenheimer.
But it's not just, I mean, there are so many factors. You can't yeah. necessarily even track them all. But I don't mean that just because of Oppenheimer and double features. I mean, that was their marketing
yeah.
for Barbie. Like, all that stuff boosted. It's
oh,
it's
you, mean
just
this, you mean like
free
the,
publicity. It's
yeah,
when
yeah,
you
yeah.
are go on Twitter or Facebook and people are wearing Barbenheimer t-shirts,
yeah.
even if you would never see Oppenheimer, you're now seeing your friends in a pink t-shirt and making
my kids
a deal
wanted
of it.
To see Barbie. And when I was like, well, I'm going to go see Oppenheimer later, then they were like, we'll go to Oppenheimer.
That's
like,
so
they only went to Oppenheimer because we were going to do Barbie right and Oppenheimer. If I had saw Oppenheimer on a different day,
never
they
that.
Wouldn't have yeah. gone.
So it's just like, this is such an organic and amazing thing to see. And, you know, and at a time
yeah.
where the studios are unraveling with rightfully so, because they're not paying people that deserve it. Like, this is their chance. If they want to be the good guys and theaters are booming right now,
they
like,
don't.
But they're screwing themselves over.
That's yeah. the. So I want to call out the two douchebags that were sitting next to me. So oh. if anybody's listening to this in St. Louis, you were at the 6:30 screening of Barbie at the Draft House. I was in row 8, seat 8. If you were sitting in seat 7 and 6, you're a piece of shit.
Why did you not get them kicked out?
So
you put it on your like you're robbing a bank. You put it on the you put it on the order note, and you go, these guys are being douches.
If they weren't doing anything that was kick outable, they were like. They were the most.
It was like Pacific Heights. They knew right up to the line of what they could get away with.
That's kind of the way it felt.
Their etiquette was off.
Their etiquette was off, and they were the most tone deaf morons I've ever sat next to. When they get to the Zack Snyder joke in this movie, it gets an audible laugh in the theater,
yeah.
as it should.
Right.
That movie sucks.
But it's a smart joke.
It's
too.
A yeah. very smart
I'm
joke.
I'm so glad someone actually called him out on the love. Like,
it's a very, very, but these two, I knew we were
and
in trouble.
And it's a joke that I don't know that the average film goer is getting.
No,
Alamo Draft House, yes. But like, that joke was for a very specific sort of
that
person.
That joke is for the people
when
online.
These two yeah. jamokes next to me go, hey, I actually kind of like that. That's a good movie. I was like, oh, you fucking idiots. And like, that's.
Well, I like The Godfather. But I wasn't mad that they made a joke about it.
I love The Godfather, yeah. but that's such a great joke.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is such a great joke.
Yeah.
So you two jack-offs are idiots. I'm glad the women that you were with completely ignored you the entire time, you tone-deaf
wow.
Like, it was... The one guy sitting next to me was laughing so loud, it was like he was pretending to be... It was like... Mm. It wasn't even that... There were scenes that weren't that funny.
Like Max Cady and Kate Fear watching Problem Child.
Yes. That's a great reference, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's I a do great that every movie once. Too. I host both the movie them. Podcast.
Yeah, that's true. That.
Yeah, oh, no, I just meant Problem Child. I'm sorry.
You know, I don't know what the other movie you're discussing.
You know
is,
who hates Problem Child?
Who?
Matt Basler. Oh. He can't. He's like, that kid's the worst. He hates that kid.
What about Matt F. Basler?
That guy also hates him.
Both of them?
Both of them.
Crap.
Equally. But
wonder how they feel about each other.
Oh, they love each other.
Oh, that's nice.
This is probably one of the most, which is crazy to say, one of the most original movies I've seen in a long time.
I mean, it isn't. Based
off a property.
Lego Movie was probably one of the most original.
That's true.
It's Lego Movie meets the Brady Bunch movie written by Betty Friedan.
Yeah.
And
okay.
And like, and so I don't think its premise is all that original.
Not to knock the film, but right. It's just original-wise.
But it's the prism through which they're telling the story that's original.
Yes.
I mean, they cast President Business in the movie as President Business.
Yeah, that's true.
In the Lego Movie, he's the bat. Like, I mean,
that's a good point.
To use him even was a little bit like...
On the nose.
Because I'm like, he already did that in a movie that is...
Right.
Like, it's like playing... I'm a Barbie girl in the middle, like, you know, they did a change up on it at the end credits, but like you expect
Which is funny considering that Mattel sued Aqua
and
for
then,
releasing that song and lost. And now they're like,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mattel, they lost.
Yeah. Oh, Mattel lost big time. But, and now they're using it in a Barbie movie.
Sure. And they're like, well, you can use it apparently and not have to pay anyone for it. So, but I think you're right. It's like it's clever and it's really
very
good.
Clever.
But when you watch it, you can't help but to think about like, oh, that's the thing that, because Lego Movie gets deep and deconstructs Legos and toys and, you know, but uses
Think they learned from Lego Movie, because the big problem Lego Movie had as a concept is a similar problem that Barbie would have, is that there isn't a huge like world building for Barbie, because you give each kid a doll, just like you give each kid a Lego. And then they create the story.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Right.
And so you don't have these touch points that people are wanting or expecting to see in the same way when you adapt like a comic book movie where you're like, oh, it's Batman, so I gotta watch his parents get killed. I gotta watch pearls fly everywhere, right? You know, you don't have that with Barbies, just like you don't have that with Legos. And it's always been the problem with adapting toys instead of like a comic book or a TV show.
That Masters of the Universe movie.
Yeah, like
it's like, oh boy, that's bad.
But at least Masters of the Universe, like that toy was created with a narrative in mind.
That's fair,
right?
That's true.
And there was a TV show, a companion TV show that went along with it.
Right.
Now I know that Barbie has had lots of direct-to-video releases over here.
I remember at Blockbuster,
we
would get those all the time, and those little, they would rent like crazy.
But I don't know that they ever really entered the pop culture zeitgeist in the same way that like
those movies, you mean?
Yeah, and this,
I would agree with that. I've never seen a Barbie cartoon.
I mean, now, granted, we're not the demo.
No,
it's fair,
but they didn't ever transcend to like, these aren't just for
I know Barbie's best friend does this, and I know that Barbie really hates pickles or whatever. Yeah. Like, there's
right.
Yeah, you don't have anything like that to play with.
Right.
Really, all you can play with is the notion of you play with them.
And you make up your own world with them.
But this movie's great, no doubt.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
I think it's fantastic. I think that it, like we've talked about in similar things to Little Mermaid, with people being able to see themselves on screen, I think it's important. And certain people are describing it as woke, which just means not white and not straight.
Yeah.
Like, that word means nothing anymore.
Just because you see people that look different than white straight people on screen doesn't mean it's forced and doesn't mean I mean, it's like these are people that exist in the world and now we're seeing them.
But also, fighting the patriarchy. Like, that's a thing that is happening right now. You know, like, it is.
Well, you know, the irony is,
as three guys talk
about Barbie, three guys talking about feminism. Here we go. We'll explain it to you, ladies.
Yeah. But mansplain it.
We're allies.
But
we're not jerks.
At the end of the day, this movie, I think its message is about moderation.
Yeah.
Because,
Because
Barbie Land is just as destructive for Kens as the real world is for Barbies women.
It was the opposite of the flip side.
The difference is that one of those worlds doesn't really exist.
Right.
So like you can't view it through the prism of like, well, see, it's bad on both ends, because the other end is a bunch of make-em-ups.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's not a real place.
The other end exists
right.
because the real world is so off balance. Mm-hmm. And right. the whole point of Barbie and the message behind it isn't just to sell cute toys. It's to make women feel empowered and to know they can be a doctor, a lawyer, you know. And
yeah, but then you get, which I like that a lot, is the Margot Robbie, is she's like the stereotypical Barbie,
right?
And what I mean by that is she's what you think of she's of Barbie,
her
right?
character's called stereotypical Barbie,
right. Yes, which that's, I think is great.
She like, is
I
love the Barbie
that, I love that it. That's her name.
when you say Barbie, she's the one you think of,
right? Right. And then you've got Sasha, who is it's America Ferrara, right? Mm-hmm. That's who that.
Yeah,
who is okay. the MVP of this movie?
I think yeah. she's great.
She is, great.
And she doesn't I have a lot. America she doesn't have a lot I've to do.
Watched,
but I think she's great when she's on
I've
screen.
I've watched every episode of Ugly Betty. I've
never
love
seen
that
it.
Show.
Isn't
so much.
She have, good? Isn't there another?
It's really good.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Superstore.
Yeah, I never watched that? Superstore. I
watched a couple episodes of that. I mean, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, but I loved Ugly Betty.
I loved her in this dramatic role, though, and that speech she gives.
Also, don't forget how good she was in Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Never seen it.
The first one's really good.
Is that Blake Lively? She in there?
Yeah. The yeah. second one is trash. But the first, because they tried to combine the last two books into one movie, because from what I understand, they had America Ferrera signed to a two-picture deal,
oh.
and then Ugly Betty came out. Her stock shot up. She didn't want to make them, and so they basically forced her to make the second one, and they knew they'd never get her for a third.
Oh, okay.
And so it just felt really rushed and weird, and like all the characters were split off and away from each other
in the
second one. In the first one, it's all about them kind of interacting. In the second one, they're all have their own. You can tell America Ferrera only saw the other cast members for like 2 days of shooting.
What was the one with all the? Was it Now and Then? They kind of sound. Was it kind of like that? Was that
yeah,
the one where like
I think so.
You get like when they're kids and then when they're adults?
Yeah, it's like Demi Moore and
Rosie O'Donnell.
Mm, yeah, and then right, I think yeah. was that the one where it's the little girl is
Thora Birch?
Is that what it is? I mean, I was thinking there's one where it's God damn it, the Wednesday.
Oh, Christina Ricci.
She's in a movie like that where she plays someone's yeah. famous younger counterpart. Anyway,
yeah.
Barbie.
Yes, I just think it is a very deep movie.
It is.
But hidden in this veneer.
I can't believe Mattel let them make this movie.
Well, I agree with you.
Which is why it's so successful.
Yeah.
Whoever greenlit that, whoever finally said, yes, they can do this.
That was
a big dice roll.
It was a big dice roll. I was going to say they had balls. Well, that was probably a dude. We know the way the world works.
Oh, well, we saw the movie.
Yeah, right.
That dude had balls. Whoever said, yes, you can do this with our property. Because it tackles the complexity of Barbie as an IP.
Yeah, with Sasha, right?
Head on.
The good and the bad.
The good and the bad.
The
like,
ugly,
because
the everything.
On the one hand, Barbie is trying to empower girls. But on the other hand, Barbie can be pretty problematic in that, like, you know.
She's gone through so many changes.
The feet and how her proportions are ridiculous if you extrapolate them to the real world. Right. Like, there's.
But didn't they change her?
They did
a few years ago, right?
I think 10 or 15 years ago, they like made her boobs smaller than they used to
and
be.
And made her like, yeah.
To make her more realistically configured, yeah.
But that speech, that teardown speech the daughter gives.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cutting and it's 100% truth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they let her, that is the scene that the CEO, a male from Mattel, flew to set to tell them they can't do that scene
because
he read
really?
The script, and Greta Gerwig had the actors perform it live in front of him and say this is important and got it to stay in the movie. But he didn't want them tearing down Barbie and
right.
all the negative things,
which I understand, but at the same time it's like you know what people
are
saying.
A lot of businesses know things.
I guess
right.
that's
try
true.
To hide them.
That's
I mean, that's
fair.
The whole point.
But
yeah, that's a good
point. I think part of the reason the movie is such a hit is because there are a lot of people, girls, women, who played with Barbies, and maybe now they look back on it and go, yeah, Barbie's a little icky. They don't necessarily, but there are also lots of women who played with Barbies and absolutely love them. And so it's both of those things are true.
Yeah. Yes.
And so for this movie to address,
you take the good, you take the bad, the facts
yeah.
of life.
for that movie to address both of those things, to tackle that head on, that you know, that even when Barbie's trying to do the right thing as a property, not as a character,
oh,
like they still like they don't quite get it right. Right?
Let's like teach Barbie kids about motherhood. Let's teach kids about changing and your boobs getting bigger. Like they're right. trying to do things, and then it ends.
But it's really tone deaf.
They're misfires
because
yeah.
it's largely men making the decisions right. about how we're exactly. going to talk to girls.
I think that's one of my favorite gags of the entire movie is the discontinued going Barbies.
I love that they're the island of misfit toys.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
it's that's weird and weird Barbie.
Weird Kate Barbies. Kate McKinnon's great.
Kate McKinnon got a little too oversaturated when she was hot. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, when she was in every movie and every, you know, and mm-hmm. on SNL every week, like, she got a little too much. But when she popped up in this, I was like, oh, yeah, I miss her because we had a little time to, yeah. we didn't see her. Yeah,
she's,
that much.
I mean, she's taken a pretty big break
yeah.
from leaving SNL.
But I think it was smart because when I was like, she is great in this movie.
Yeah, she's you know? Fantastic.
And I had missed her. I realized, like, she is so good. It's just her shtick got a little wearing on me over. Oversaturation.
Yes.
That's all.
Yeah. I think, and Helen Mirren as our narrator, I think was yes. also great.
So good.
One of my favorite jokes of the movie is when
casting Margot Robbie to make
this
point.
Oh my God. She goes, yeah.
That's a great joke.
It's a great joke. What is, I think,
because
like,
this
she's breaking
self-aware.
Down, right?
Yeah.
Like this, which
but
goes,
like the movie's even ripping on its own
yeah.
complexity, right?
Right
like
right,
it's like,
right, right.
I'm telling you this message, but I'm putting it in a package that at the same time mm-hmm. completely undermines the message I'm giving you.
One of the most beautiful women on the planet yeah. Earth.
You right. got it. I mean, you got to give it to Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach also wrote this movie with her. You know, two very talented writers.
Yeah.
And I think the message is so strong, but they also crafted an endlessly entertaining movie.
Yeah.
Start to finish, this thing is a blast. And as three guys that it sounds like have no love for Barbie,
no
experience with Barbie.
No. Well,
maybe,
I mean,
your sister
my sister
one.
My sister had a
I don't even
ridiculous
my sister
amount of Barbies.
Had Barbies. I don't really remember seeing Barbies around. And my sister is 6 years older than I am, so I would think if there were lots of Barbies laying around the house, I would have come across
right.
them because she would have been done with them.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. No,
know.
My
and you
sister.
Could have, and you could have cut their heads off and tied them to train tracks and
had G.I. Joe hook
I
up
could
with
have
them.
Played dress up. You don't know.
Yeah. That's, you oh, know don't, what?
Don't
You're
judge
absolutely
me.
Right.
Don't
That's
put
right.
me in a box.
No, I never would.
I'm a Barbie.
Like this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, my sister definitely had Barbies all over the place. Like
but so we had,
Corvettes and all that.
But other than that exposure, we didn't have any love for the property. And I mean, they did a, this is the one this reminds me of is Dora the Explorer.
Yeah.
That is a
Dora the what?
Isn't or is it not Explorer? Okay.
No.
Dora the Explorer. Sorry. Yes. It seems like it should rhyme.
She's not a gangster rapper.
That, no. So that's how little I know that property.
Sorry, gangsta
there
rapper.
You go. Thank you.
It sounded like it should rhyme.
It should.
It with
You're right.
But Dora the Explorer is such a good movie.
Yes.
That has like no right. It's that's James Bobbin, the guy that did
yes.
the Muppet movie directed
yes.
that, which you know, there that tells you what you need to know. But that movie is so good and
no right being that good.
I had never seen the show. I had
Cinderella
never...
movie was the same way. I have no affinity for Cinderella other than the cast. At Disney World, but that
movie is fantastic.
But that Cinderella yeah. live action movie is probably the second best of
I
their live action.
You're right. Yeah. I think you're absolutely
so
right.
So it's amazing when someone can take a property that seems so not niche, but specifically targeted,
right.
and turn it into what is at least close to a four quadrant hit that everyone can enjoy.
If it's not a four quadrant hit, it's only because
people won't give it a chance.
Yeah, you know
there's
I mean?
Going to be
like,
a lot of men out there that would never.
I would never have seen this movie.
I would never have probably. Well, Crystal wanted to see it, so I would never fight that. I'd be like, sure,
that's
you go
true.
To. So
Leanne does what did want to see
that
it,
woman
yeah.
has sat through like seven Monkeys concerts, so if she wants me to go see Barbie. I'd go see Barbie.
Fine,
but
you're if you don't go to things that your wife wants to go to, not you, but if you don't
yeah.
go to things your partner wants to go to, you're dumb because guaranteed they're doing a lot of for you.
Right.
Also, you're probably going to get laid later.
Right. Yeah. Do the message word to the wise. Do nice things for your partner. Maybe selfless things. That's good.
Yeah.
Be a good partner.
But
right.
you might get surprised. And I don't mean after the movie. I mean,
oh,
you might
right.
get surprised during the movie because you go to things like Dora the Explorer. Now, when me and Brad saw that movie in that theater full of
Dude,
kids,
when I had to go see Magic Mike and I was just like the only
right.
one there,
yeah.
I was like, oh, God.
But you see, you take a chance. You see, this podcast has made us see things that we would not normally
yes,
see in
for
theaters.
Sure.
Yes.
And we're surprised. And this is 100% one of those. And with the creatives involved, I had a feeling it would be, right?
For
like,
sure.
This isn't as far of a stretch just because it's Greta Gerwig. And...
So that, her name is not a draw for me. I think, is it, what's the one with Saoirse Ronan?
Lady Bird.
Which I think is fantastic,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But if you tell me, hey, there's a new Greta Gerwig movie, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't really care for Little Women. I just don't like those period piece
Same.
Kind of movies.
Oh, okay.
They just
Same.
Don't typically resonate for me.
And Noah Baumbach is another one where I was like, I appreciate his skill. But it's not like I'm going to rush out and see one of his movies.
What has he done off the top of you?
We just covered something that he did.
Well, he just did White Noise on Netflix, which I was not a fan of. And Greta Gerwig was in it. She's the
I thought he had done lead. Something else that we covered that I was just like, God, this
did
is
he
not...
do the Squid and the Whale?
I think he did.
Yeah,
and he did. He's not quite mumblecore, but he's like
mumblecore adjacent.
He's mumblecore adjacent. Yeah, he's pretty close. Type of
Margo at the Wedding.
Mm. No.
Something that I've never heard of, the Meyerowitz stories.
Oh, yeah. That's
he did Marriage Story. I like Marriage
Story. Meyerowitz stories.
Marriage Story was good.
Marriage Story is phenomenal.
He co-wrote Fantastic Mr. Fox and Life Aquatic.
He's a Wes Anderson.
So I liked Fantastic Mr. Fox.
I rest my case.
I did not like, well, I don't like any other.
I love Wes Anderson movies, but that's right.
Did you like Asteroid City?
So it came out on digital. I started watching it. I didn't get a chance to finish yet. Love what I've seen so far.
Okay.
I just love Wes Anderson movies. Ugh. It's
with a side of ugh.
Oh, I love it. With Wes Anderson, you know exactly what you expect.
That's true.
If it's not your thing, but he's going to deliver if you want Wes Anderson.
If you
want
to, I mean? Yeah, that's it's like Quentin Tarantino. I mean, he's like Quentin Tarantino. So it's kind of the same thing. It's like
I don't think he's as pop, but you're right. You know
what you're going
to get. Exactly.
Right. Man, I just rewatched Django the other day.
So good.
So good.
I think that's one of his best. Really.
I think that whole run good. From like Inglorious Bastards on is good stuff.
I think this is interesting. Just Noah Baumbach on the Wikipedia talks about films that influenced him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Considering he's this art house guy, right?
Yeah.
The Jerk, Animal House, Heaven Can Wait, World According to Garp, E.T., Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
That's an interesting group. There's some Steve Martin in there.
Yeah.
Which, okay. But yeah, this is like, it's perfectly cast. I think Margot Robbie is such a fan.
That is
like,
brilliant casting.
She is not.
She's been like in Babylon.
Yes.
I really felt like she was having a hard time shaking Harley Quinn.
I think that's fair.
And
I thought, I'm like, please don't do the Harley Quinn voice.
And,
because.
And it was nice to see her doing something that was 100% not Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
The Harley Quinn voice wasn't there. None of it.
Because when the movie first starts, there's something when she talks. And I go, it may be when she's just saying hi, Barbie, or whatever. Where she has the Harley Quinn, that, I don't know, twang, that it's whatever like that, she does. That
I almost want to call it like a vocal
she puts
fry.
On it.
She gets this sort of like Jersey accent.
And so she does it at the beginning. And I go, oh my God, she's Jeff Bridges after Craven. Crazy hard. Like, she is Harley. Her American accent is Harley Quinn.
Oh,
and
you think Jeff Bridges picked up that accent after Crazy Heart?
Yeah.
I thought it was the Big Lebowski.
No,
he's more Big Lebowski. He's more stoner guy.
Which was Jeff Bridges for a while.
Yeah, but then with Crazy Heart, he gets Dark Colonel.
Yeah, you're right.
Going on,
you're
and
totally
then it
right.
Never goes away.
Yeah, he kept doing it.
That and True Grit, and then every single movie, even that amazing
Iron Man.
What was the modern Western that we all love? With Chris Pine and Ben.
Oh, Hell or High Water.
And it's like, you know, he's like the Texas sheriff or whatever. Yeah. So like, but he still was like, it's the exact same voice. And it just never changed no matter what he would be in. But anyway, I was worried about it. But then when she really starts getting full lines, I'm like, oh, okay, she's doing something
different. Well, her voice also changes as we find out. Every Barbie in Barbie Land is affected differently by how they are played within the real world, right? Mm-hmm. So Kate McKinnon is Weird Barbie. Because the kid that played too hard would like cut her hair off and make crazy faces. She's always doing the splits, which I think was a hilarious little gag.
When she's got her leg up on the wall, she is so good in this movie.
That's another line that I like. Everybody's like, yeah, we call her Weird Barbie behind her back.
And to her face.
Yeah.
And then we're sorry for calling you that to your face.
And behind your back.
Yeah, like,
I think the best line in the whole movie it's like a little throwaway line, but I also feel like it's the kind of line that I feel like could only be written by a woman.
Okay.
When they're in the car chase and the mom's driving and the daughter's like, where did you learn to drive like this? And America Ferrera gets this kind of far away horned up look in her eye when she's like, there was this guy. And I was just like,
doesn't she make a comment about it being, did dad teach you to do this?
Yeah.
Oh, she goes, is that guy, that guy's dad, right? And she goes, oh yeah, honey, yeah. His dad. There are so many good lines. And also, obviously, this is a female-driven movie. There are a lot of amazing performances by women throughout the movie. But Ryan Gosling and his comedic chops, you got to give it to the guy.
And also, in the same way that I can't believe Mattel was willing to let them make this movie, I'm surprised someone like Ryan Gosling was willing to let himself be the butt of the joke.
Yeah.
The way that he was.
I feel like Ryan Gosling is that guy, like with his sense of humor.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. And I think that's why he said yes.
Yeah,
but
right.
But like that's also that's a big risk to take with your career. Yeah.
Do you think I wonder, the only thing I can think of is one, obviously he's already rich and famous, but two, like he's Ryan Gosling. There's only a few people could do that, and it's like
you for that role to work, it needs to be an established known actor. Yeah. You can't just get like
I was thinking Zac Efron was the only name that like maybe could pull that off.
Who's that?
Zac Efron.
Yeah, like, I can
has
see that.
That ability to be like that kind of
yeah.
But like Simu Liu was great in the movie, but he couldn't have been that character. It wouldn't work. No,
he's great. I love that guy.
Channing Tatum, I think.
Oh,
Channing Tatum could do it. I mean, he's another. Yeah, I could see that. But the Ken stuff was great, and also the things I can't believe Mattel signed off on is the downtake of Ken and how worthless they are and how they only exist for Barbie and they have nothing going on. Like they knock on Ken over and over, which is so true because it's like really
they do. Ken's just another. Yeah.
He's just a thing.
He's another accessory to Barbie in the same way the Malibu Dreamhouse is. Right. Like he is there to show that Barbie has a boyfriend, and that's.
Right.
That's it.
What is your profession? Beach.
Beach.
Yeah. And then when he gets to the, I mean, there are so many great scenes. When he gets to the real world and he's trying to get a job with the lifeguard, he's like, oh no, I can't swim. And oh, I can't save anyone. And he's like, well, I can't give you a job. Like, he's like, you can't do it. And he runs away. He's like, no, I can't do it.
He keeks the sand out of the way.
It's so funny, all his performances. But yeah, I mean, this is a really, really fun and funny movie.
Yeah. But it's also, like I said, it's biting and it's very satirical. And it does, you know, so basically the premise is our stereotypical Barbie starts to break down, kind of. So she takes her shoes off for the first time and her feet go flat. And I do love that everybody is just like actively throwing up, but there's no liquids anywhere.
Well, right. She takes a shower. There's no water.
Right.
She takes a drink
of milk and there's nothing.
It's the glass that has the like two liquids. So it looks like the liquid's moving.
Which I think is great.
And I like the meta nature where they're like, oh, come over to my house later. Where we're having a dance party with full choreography and then it just cuts and they're doing a choreographed dance. Like the movie is so self-aware of its silly nature and how people play with Barbies.
Right.
I mean, when she floats down from the dream house, cause no one makes them. Helen Mirren says no one unlocks the door and has them go down the stairs.
Yeah, just pull them out of the side.
She floats down. Pull them out of the house. So the Barbies move like kids play with them, which I think is really relatable and it's fun. It's fun to watch.
Very much
and
so.
And all their little sparkles and the like that are like animated that come into the.
That last dancing with the Kens versus the Kens is pretty great.
That's like something out of West Side Story.
I thought the same thing. I was like, these motherfuckers.
Yeah, that's like an American in Paris, very sensational, like
stylized choreography.
Yeah, like one of those. Yeah dream sequence. It's great.
Yeah, and so you know, her feet go flat, and she's starting to become real—an
existential crisis. Yeah,
correct.
Does anybody worry about death?
And everybody stops
during the middle of the dance sequence.
Yeah,
have you guys ever thought about death? And
dying because I'm dying to continue dancing.
Yeah,
they're like, woo!
Great. Yeah,
I do think it's funny that one of the gals in this movie was this runner-up to Lois Lane.
Oh, okay. Which one's that?
The one that looks like Lois Lane.
Oh, okay.
I thought
that was Lois Lane. I'm sorry.
No, she looks like her. Yeah. I don't know what her name is, but she was like the second name that was getting knocked around for Lois. And I think it went to the gal from Marvelous Ms.
Maisel. So this cast is stacked. So just to say, so Issa Rae plays Barbie. Kate McKinnon plays Barbie.
Yeah.
Alexandra Shipp plays Barbie. Emma McKay, Barbie.
I think it's Emma McKay.
Is it? Okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I could definitely see that. Hari Neff. Sharon Rooney, Anne Cruz Kane, all Barbie. Ritu Ara, Dua Lipa is a Barbie.
Yeah, it does make life real easy to not have to name your characters.
Right, so we can just talk about, hey, Barbie did this. But for the Kens, Ryan Gosling, Simu Liu. Kingsley Benadire is in Secret Invasion as Gravik. I haven't watched that one.
Oh, he's the lead Skrull.
One Night in Miami, he played Malcolm X. That was kind of a bigger role that he got around awards time.
No, he's good in Secret Invasion.
Scott Evans, Chris Evans' brother, is one of the Kens.
Oh, really?
He's like one of the main ones, like on the dance line.
That's
funny.
He's
on the right side, I think.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's him. John Cena. And then who could forget Michael Cera as Alan? I think.
So
that
is that a
That's a real doll.
Yeah. Okay.
And they made a non-Ken.
Like they were like, I think they were trying to level up Ken, and probably the thought process was maybe we can get boys to play with these. But Alan was Ken's friend, and the selling point. And they reference this in the movie is a little throwaway line.
Yes, they do.
But the selling point for Alan was
wow.
he could wear all of Ken's clothes. Yeah. Like, all of the clothes for Ken fit Alan, so you don't need to get new clothes. That's... So it's like, it ended up having this very gay vibe.
Sure,
of like,
sure, sure.
Ken has a best friend, and they share clothes.
Correct.
And, but that's not gay at all.
No, but I think
in your home,
Michael Cera is definitely supposed to be gay.
I don't know.
I don't know that he is.
I think it's just what you, whatever you project onto Alan.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Well,
I don't think they really ever address it one way or the
other.
No,
they don't.
But they definitely address the fact that it's a little weird.
Yes.
You know?
But what this movie doesn't, it's not, the whole point is that seeing people that look or act differently than you should not be a big deal, right? And so, in this movie, there are gay Kens and there are trans Barbies in this movie.
There is that the redhead was trans.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
But that's what I thought. But it's not, they don't go, oh, hi, trans Barbie. And they right. don't, you know, like the whole point is that this is
none of them got genitals.
Yes.
What a great line that is, too.
I have all of the genitals. So funny. But I could see because I saw that. I don't even want to mention. He who shall not be named saw the movie and, of course, was going to hate it and did a huge takedown of it. And I'm watching the movie after that, and I'm like, oh, well, of course, anybody with that mindset is going to have a problem with it. But they never hammer you over the head.
Yeah.
These people,
they just exist. Yeah.
And that should not be a problem.
Plain and simple.
But the representation of Barbie in a wheelchair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's important.
Barbie with a TV in her back?
Yeah, some people do. But, there are a lot of little girls that play with Barbie are going to see this movie. Some of them are in wheelchairs. Yeah. Like, you know what that's going to mean to that? Mm-hmm.
I saw a great tweet the other day from a woman in a wheelchair, and she was breaking down. She was comparing her wheelchair to Barbie's wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
To, here's what mine does. Here's what Barbie's does.
Okay.
Here's what Barbie's gets wrong. Here's what, it was fascinating.
Interesting. Yeah.
But that stuff's important.
No, I think
I like to see it.
We've said that 100, with Spider-Verse and, mm-hmm. and the female-led superhero movies, all of that stuff is insane.
Spider-Man, and I've said this before, but Spider-Man is practically the inventor of representation.
Absolutely.
Right? They made Peter Parker a nerdy kid because they knew lots of nerdy kids were reading the comic books and they could live vicariously through the idea of a nerdy kid secretly being a hero.
And then
if you love Spider-Man and hate representation, you're fucking stupid.
Yeah. But that's the thing is like with Superman or Batman or, some of the guys who you can see their face, right? It's like, it's a white guy. Like we know that's a white guy.
Yeah.
With Spider-Man, you can't, right? Like when he's swinging through the city, any kid, any race, any gender, anything can be under that mask. You have no idea. And I think that's insanely important, especially today where I think kids are just inundated with hate, because of social media, really, right? Like it's easier to bully someone without having to say something to their face. So the fact that they can feel present and feel like somebody sees them, and not just kids, I guess that's not fair, anybody.
Yeah, sure.
I think that's insanely important. This movie does tackle it almost perfectly.
Little things like what you see in this movie, whether it is that representation, people popping up or someone in a wheelchair, like that can save lives just by having that on the screen. You can make such an impact by having someone felt seen, that you're not alone, and it does not derail the movie. It does not have a spotlight shined on it. Again, they just exist, and it's
this
great
movie
to see.
Has a message, but it's a smart, they deliver it very, very smartly. Mm-hmm. And
it doesn't feel like you're vegetables.
But
there's a lot of vegetables.
There's a lot of vegetables,
but it's like they put vegetables in your ice cream,
or they put them in the air fryer and they roasted them up real nice.
Lots of oil,
and you put some garlic on salt. That's good stuff. But there is like a goofy veneer to it that I think is insanely smart.
Yeah.
I think it's insanely smart.
That's when you hire someone like Greta Gerwig to make a movie like this, a Barbie movie, she's not making just a kid's movie. She's making
it
reminds me of School of Rock.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Sure.
You know, they brought in an art house person, and I know School of Rock isn't based on a pre-existing IP. But
Linklater is the last person you'd think of to make a kid's movie.
Right.
Yeah.
And he made this great kid's movie that today would be shouted down as woke.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's all the different races. There's a gay kid. There's that movie would be the right would lose their shit. And I've said this before too. You know what other movie the right would lose their shit about today? What's Smokey that? And the Bandit.
Oh, right.
You're without making, question. You're making the police look bad. Right? Like, that's all you would hear.
They'd hate
they love that movie because they fell in love with it before they were told they should hate it.
Right.
And so it's grandfathered
because
it's
in. Because, A, it's a great movie.
It's a great movie. Yes. Yeah.
But, yeah, so this one, so Barbie starts, to, like I said, her feet drop flat.
Which is so funny with them all looking at her feet and yeah. everything.
They start, like I said, start throwing up.
Yeah.
Acting like, but then she goes to see Weird Barbie, which is Kate McKinnon, and she, like, lifts up, Weird Barbie lifts up, like, Margot Robbie's skirt.
Oh, boy.
And she, I know, but she's got cellulite on her leg, and oh. she was like, oh, well, this is what's happening. Like,
and the whole thing, the joke that they call back that revolves around cellulite, like, it's such a huge deal. Right. And then, you know, good luck on your journey so that you won't get cellulite. It's all on a
it's
banner.
All written on the banner. Yeah.
Those kind of clever jokes are so great.
But we find out that basically what's happening is the person that is playing with stereotypical Barbie in the real world is projecting their feelings onto the Barbie, and
the barrier between both universes
is starting to break, right? So they go, Margot Robbie gets in her car and she starts to drive away. But who pops up in the back is, of course, Ken, played by Ryan Gosling.
Oh, and I do want to say real quick before we move on, what Kate McKinnon, kudos to the writing again, she goes, don't think too hard about it.
Yeah.
She does that twice yeah, in that
that's,
scene.
That's right.
Of
that's
how
right.
You travel.
How is this going to work? Yeah, how is this going to happen?
Yeah, and how do I get there and you take this or whatever? And I love it. And then she goes, again, don't think too hard about it.
Like, how do I get back? You just do everything in reverse.
Yeah.
I was like, that's fantastic.
And that comes back a couple of times. Like, again, the writing is so good.
Yes, it is. It's very, very good. So Ken and Barbie go to the real world and they think, look at, you know, Barbie, of course, with this.
I like when their car flips over. Because, like, again, playing with toys.
Yeah, that's how you sure. would do it.
When like, Ken is, yeah.
yeah
when,
you would just
and
flip
he's
the
like,
thing.
Whoa, and they go upside down. And
yes.
It's so funny.
And, of course, Barbie thinks that in the real world, women are going to be running the and, you know.
Let me go to this construction zone. That should be a perfect place for girl power.
Right. And I do love the entire, she's like, I feel conscious about myself. Yeah. Like, which is a constant thing, yeah. you know. He's like, and Ken's like, I feel great. And she's like, I feel this, like, weird fear going through, you know. Yeah. And I, and of course, the guy walks up and slaps her in the ass. And she turns around and punches him in the face, as
the
she should.
Catcaller, all the yeah, construction guys,
of course.
Catcaller.
They keep getting arrested.
She's like, why aren't there, where are all the women at the construction site? I don't understand. Yeah.
And basically, we find out that this has happened before. A Barbie has gotten into the real world, which I thought was coming back for something. Because
they show her, it's that babysitter one in the end credits.
It's Skipper.
Yeah.
That but one. That's Barbie's sister.
Oh, it's her sister?
Yeah. Kid,
okay.
Skipper is Barbie's kid's sister.
But they show her on the...
Skipper's the one who gets the bigger boobs. Growing up Skipper.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they show that.
But they say that Skipper got out.
Yeah, and she tried to kidnap a kid because at the end they show her she has, like, she's a babysitter. So her intention was to go to the real world and find kids to babysit, but they mistook that as her trying to kidnap kids.
I kept thinking that, like, Skipper got away. And Skipper was in the real world, and we were going to see.
I think they. I presume they resolved that issue.
I just thought I was like.
But you thought she was going to be there.
Yeah, but it's again. So. Skipper is Barbie's sister, so I was okay. like, it'd be a weird moment where Barbie doesn't reference her sister had gone missing for however long. Yeah, she has like the only reason again had a sister who's 3 years younger. It's like my sister is like prime age of like peak Barbie, where like I'm peak Ninja Turtles,
right?
She's peak Barbie. And man, that kid had everything, but there was, I think she had like two other sisters, but okay. Skipper was one of the sisters.
But they make a joke too, and I love at the end, you see the real, all the different types of Barbies
yeah.
and everything.
Yeah. So Barbie gets to Mattel.
And meanwhile, Ken is having his own existential crisis because he sees all these men in power. There's men doing business meetings,
right.
and he's seeing all this. And so he goes to the library to look up the patriarchy. And finds books on like business
and men.
Men and horses.
And horses. I do also like that scene at the whatever like that complex is when the three guys are doing a business deal and the girl walks over to give him something. He's like, not now, Samantha. And Ryan Gosling kind of like imitates how he moves. I thought
he's
like,
watching
them
all
so
and he's realizing, like, oh, these men have power here. Which again, to Tom's point earlier, they do such a good job of showing you the imbalance in both worlds.
Yeah.
The solution is a compromise. Like Barbie is a response to the real world, which has a lot of terrible things, but also the the prime, the goal should not be to get to Barbie where it's
right.
all women,
right.
but it obviously shouldn't be all men. They've got to meet somewhere in the middle.
Yes.
And so this movie does a good job of also being like, well, you can't just have Kens be nothing, or look,
right.
The Kens are incels basically at the end of this movie.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's that takedown, but it's also like, well, the Barbies are giving them nothing to do, so they want to take over.
I will also say one of the things I don't like about this movie is the way the Barbies kind of win the day is by doing the thing that
I thought the same thing.
Lot of men accuse women of doing,
right,
which is using their feminine wiles to manipulate and pit them against
that,
each other.
That scene at the campfire, which again,
where they're all playing
push or bush.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah. I was like, that's almost a bush.
Yeah, no, they don't have genitals.
I love that how they're singing at them.
Although,
for 4 hours.
It's a bit of a cheat because push is written, that's all being said by a woman.
Oh, is it really?
The opening line of
that
push
has to be on purpose,
is,
then.
She said.
That's true.
Like
that is the opening line of that song.
So everything that comes after in that song is being said by a woman.
That's got to be on purpose.
Now,
but yeah.
Now, that being said, it is also not crazy that every one of those men would completely misunderstand that song.
Totally true.
Right? So, but
totally true.
But that song is technically supposed to be from the point of view of a woman.
That's funny.
Although it was written by a man.
By a dude.
I'm thinking that's why it was chosen.
Tweedledee and Tweedledum sitting next to me started singing the song. And I was like,
you have missed the point.
That's exactly how I felt. I'm like, you morons.
They're the ones that were probably going to sing it to their girlfriends after the.
But that is, I did think the same thing is when they're all singing the song and then the Barbies kind of like, be like, hold on 1 second. And they go, you know, the rivalry between Simu, right? That's his name.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Gosling is that they're both competing for the attention of Margot Robbie, and Margot Robbie plays into that and plays them against each other, which causes the Ken war, which means they can't vote.
But the end of the day though, like, well, before the end of the movie where they're purposely trying to gain power back because they've had it all taken away, Barbie Land becomes Kendom. But the whole movie, like, Barbie isn't manipulating the Kens.
No,
she isn't trying to. She doesn't care. She's Barbie. It's all about. Every night is girls' night.
Right?
Can I stay at your house tonight?
Why?
No, this is my house.
That's
it's
a great
girls'
line.
Night.
Well, and it's the same way that so often men treat society, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. It's just like, well,
this is just how the world works.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a great takedown, but I like that where it's like, it's not the Barbies being like, oh, all men are awful, whatever. It's like, but in this world that was created as the mirror world of the real world, it's like, it's to give the Barbies empowerment, and it's girls' night every night and all this. And so, you know, Ken gets down about that, and then as he sees more and more, he's like, oh my gosh, Ken's can do something. But he goes to the polar opposite. He takes over and becomes the cool bro.
He takes over Barbie's house.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I do like where they rename it basically something ridiculous like,
oh, the dojo house.
The dojo.
Mojo casa house.
Right.
Go get me a brewski beer. Everything,
then,
they're so dumb. But
they go back to the real world and they're like, these things are selling like hotcakes.
Right.
I also love the fact that the Barbies have no defenses because they've never dealt with men like this.
So they just
completely acquiesce to
like,
their
misplaced
confidence.
What happens basically is that America Ferrara ends up having to rescue Barbie from
Mattel.
She used
to play Barbies with her daughter, the one that gives that really good takedown speech. She in the cafeteria when Barbie goes to her, but come to find out that those were like they might have even been America Ferrara's Barbies that she like passed down, but they used to play Barbies together.
Right.
And then we see that the high schooler grows up. She has a big box for Goodwill, and America Ferrara plucks
one.
Stereotypical Barbie out, and that is she's been playing with her like to reminisce about old times.
She's been drawing like the existential crisis Barbie
cellulite Barbie. Yeah.
So everything that Margot Robbie thought was coming from the teenage daughter, we find out was actually coming from America
Ferrara.
And
it's like they never show the mom's face, which I think, you know, you can put it together pretty quickly.
Sure,
but
sure,
especially when she gets to the school and it's like, well, she clearly is not the one playing with Barbies.
Right.
It's, it's her mom.
Right. I do like that other kid where she's like, oh no, don't talk to Sasha. Nobody talks to Sasha. Like, you don't want to do
that. I like
that
girl who goes, I love Barbies. And they all look at her and she goes, oh,
never mind. So America Ferrara ends up rescuing Barbie. They take Barbie takes America Ferrara back to Barbie land. And this is what, like you were saying, Kevin, all of the Barbies have now been brainwashed by the patriarchy. So America Ferrara gives this speech and it snaps one of the Barbies out of the trance she was in.
You could, I mean, did your audiences like stand up and cheer America Ferrara? Like that speech you have to
it's
know
great.
Is so important.
There
for
were definitely,
a woman.
You could see, no, because I'm at the draft house, right? And mostly, well, except for
well,
bag number
they,
one and
they were
bag,
probably like,
they were like, oh, they were like,
but every, like, but you there could were people see, cheering in my audience. Like yeah. that speech, her performance was phenomenal. The writing, which I'm guessing comes from Greta Gerwig's
yeah.
part, was phenomenal.
Right.
That was such a good moment and important because even as a man, you can recognize they have to deal with constantly. And
oh, yeah.
that it was felt so true. And like Katie next to me is like, as a woman, as a mom, because it's her whole thing about that speech is how you never do anything right. You're a woman. You're expected to be one way. You're expected to be a mom, but don't talk too much about your kids. It's so hard to do the perfect thing and be everything to everybody. And it was amazing.
Yeah. And she would give speech. That like different versions of that speech and would snap these Barbies out of the trance they were in.
I like when they would cut and she would just give like one
a snippet,
yeah,
one was, little, yeah. like little kernel of truth.
Right.
And they'd be
right.
like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. there it is.
Alan was going around with them, helping them. They all dressed in these like pink, is they're
pink
like,
jumpsuits.
They're like secret, you know, disguise or whatever. And yeah, Alan's jumping out of cars and pulling them in and stuff.
I love
and,
that Alan thought he was getting away
yeah,
into the
I'll
real world. And he was like, oh.
That Alan fight sequence was hilarious. There's like construction workers putting a wall. And he's like, once we figure out how to make the bricks build sideways, we'll really be
I
able
got
to.
Big old Scott Pilgrim vibes with that fight scene.
It was just great. Fun. I mean, he's beating up all the construction. Like Alan, for whatever reason, is able to totally kick ass.
He's got that guy with a shovel across his throat.
Yeah.
And like, I think it was America goes, oh my God. Yeah. And like he chokes that guy out. Yeah, he's like, we gotta go.
So funny. But and then when they're like, we're going back, he's like, I'll never get out of here. Yeah. I love Michael Cera.
I do
so
too.
Great
he
to see him.
He's so interesting because I think Scott Pilgrim is fantastic. I love Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah. I can't wait for
and
that show.
Superbad. And, yeah, right. Yeah. I think but he kind of disappeared for a while.
I think he was overwhelmed with how famous he got. Yeah. Like I read an interview with him where he said after Superbad and Juno back to back, it was like like,
it was a lot.
Yeah, he had so much coming at him. He just didn't know how to process it.
That
he
seems
was just
and
like
an Arrested Development, like yeah. all that stuff.
I mean, he was a YouTuber, you know.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Clark and Michael.
Okay. Yeah. It's funny. Somebody
he was
posted
a voice on Roly Poly Oly. He's been working since
was
he's
he really?
A kid. He was Roly Poly Oly's little brother. He was also plays a young Sam Rockwell in Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Oh,
Chuck
interesting.
Bear,
yeah,
Chuck
great,
Barris, directed by George Clooney, which yeah. is a great movie. You should, but yeah, he plays. So he's been working forever.
That's funny.
Clark Duke.
It's yeah.
Clark and Michael. It was their YouTube series before he was in Superbad and all that. Like they did that and they carried on for a little bit and they both got so famous. But that was a really funny. They did skits. You know, they were like Lonely Island did skits before they were on SNL.
Sure.
They were YouTubers.
Somebody made this, you know, this TikTok kind of went viral where it's Michael Cera and Jonah Hill giving an interview and like the, you know, the little like lettering is like the Jonah Hill shows his true colors in interview.
Yeah.
And he's going through this whole thing and then they pan to the interviewer and I was like, Edgar Wright. Like this isn't real. Like this isn't a real interview. This is all fake. Like if you don't know, I mean,
yeah,
you wouldn't know who he was. But
right.
I was like, this is not
Sometimes
real.
Sometimes they do those things where like a director will interview their own actors for interviews and stuff. It might have been some publicity for a movie.
But it was Jonah Hill being a
yeah.
And I was like, this isn't real. Like it's not.
I don't know. Well, and did you see like the one where Michael Cera is like being goofy behind him? He's like, Michael, get the fuck away from me! Like with all this stuff coming out about Jonah Hill, and you see how he treated. You know, good guy, lovable Michael Cera.
Yeah, right, right. Like, I don't know. This is the end. Tells a different story about Michael Cera.
Well, that's so great because he's playing against Type.
I know.
And the poker one when he plays Tobey Maguire.
Oh!
Molly's Game.
He
Michael
is, yes,
playing
you're,
Tobey Maguire.
You're absolutely right.
He's a total...
He totally...
Yeah. Yes. When he did show up the past decade, he was playing against Type to do something different, which
right,
is really
right,
cool.
Right. Yeah, so they bring America Ferrara back. They bring all the Barbies back. And there's the Kens are going
to
vote on the Constitution of
change
Barbie to change the Constitution.
We should say that Will Ferrell and his executives of Mattel,
yes.
right? Like, it is very meta where when they go to Mattel and they go into the boardroom meeting and then they say, like, oh, this happened with Skipper. And, you know, there's some funny things. The whole board of Mattel is all men. And they're all obviously very clueless and trying to tell what little girls will want
right,
to play with.
Right.
But they're chasing them, and they're half-wits, and they can't do anything. You know, they bring in Barbie. Barbie's like, I'm going to go to the bathroom, and she evades them. That scene I thought was really funny with the cubicles.
So that it's a scene jumping. Like that that makes this movie just feel weird enough.
Yeah, and for kids.
Yes.
It was silly. Yes. That was the kid thing, which was very entertaining and silly. But they're so horrible. But they're chasing them, and they're trying to get to Barbie Land, so eventually they'll get there just to... For the end of the, you know,
right.
They're not, nothing happens. They don't, no. Obviously don't recapture.
Well, they're going to like, we're going to do this. And they're like, look at the sales. He's like, never mind.
Yeah.
Rhea Perlman also plays the ghost of the creator of Barbie. Ruth Handler. And I'm glad they don't gloss over the tax evasion thing.
I thought it was really interesting that like they even take on the fact that like the creator of Barbie
got in some trouble
is problematic.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, that's another one of those things where I left the movie and my number one reaction was like, Mattel let them do this?
I thought she was going to be Skipper.
Oh,
that they had captured Skipper and that she was,
she had been aging because she grew
she's
up
in the real world. Yeah. Yeah. So everything they fix it. The Kens fight each other. And because they're fighting each other and doing this giant number, they don't get to vote, which I think is another great line where the one Ken goes, hey, weren't we supposed to vote? And Ryan Gosling goes, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because they were the whole dance number, yeah, right. And I totally forgot.
And then they, you know, but everything goes back to normal from before. But our Barbie, Margot Robbie, knows that that's not the right way to do things. So they kind of have this she has this moment with Ken where she's like, you just got to find Ken. You got to find the real you. And that allows the Kens to feel important enough, right, that they don't have to just be the thing that Barbie looks at just once or twice.
I think they said someday, like someday.
Well, they joke and they're like, can we have some seats on the Supreme Court? And the president was like, no.
They said you can be like junior.
You can be a lower circuit court.
They were like, all right.
But at the end, they're like, maybe someday Kens will have as much power as women do in the real world.
Right.
Like
right,
saying
right.
Like, you know, it's going to take some time, but maybe eventually we'll get there.
Correct.
Because the goal is to bring everybody to the middle.
To the middle.
Yeah.
And then Rhea Perlman shows back up, and this is where our Barbie.
That was Lin Shaye.
No. But it is, like, I haven't seen Rhea Perlman in Lord knows. I mean, her husband works like a madman, but...
She just popped up in one of those book club knockoff movies where they were cheerleaders.
That's right.
Oh.
Yeah.
80 for Brady?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. I didn't see 80 for Brady. Perhaps
one of those.
It was one where they're like on a nursing home and they decide to
start... Diane Keaton?
Yeah, I think she was in it. They decided to start a cheerleading
team. Was Sally Field there? I know she's in some of those. You'd remember.
I think she was in that one.
You'd remember.
I would remember.
So basically, our Barbie says, I want to get out of here. I want to be real. And Rhea Perlman's like, you realize that like you're going to get old. Like things aren't going to be the same here. And she's like, maybe I'm just not supposed to be here anymore. And this scene, like, it got me, right? Like it, now that I'm a dad, anything that has to do with like kids, being kids and growing up, hits me in the every time. And I can't help myself but cry.
Yeah.
So like, I'm just sitting there and I've got these two jackholes next to me, you know.
Oh, what's this dude doing?
Yeah,
how dare you show emotion?
Yeah,
she just tried to kiss one of them. Dude, it's happening. It's happening. Barbie's making me gay.
We got to go, man.
Reach into my popcorn bucket.
Sounds like you had a couple of Bankies.
Because Banky figures it out. That's true, though.
Right?
That's fair. That's a good point. A couple of Bankies.
Oh, the movie was called Palms.
Oh.
Diane Keaton, Jackie Weaver, Pam Grier.
Okay.
That is an interesting group.
See, that didn't get the four quadrant.
That did not. Yeah.
I don't think it got a one quadrant.
There were a couple of really good scenes. The other one is that scene on the bench where Barbie first goes to the real world and sees
the older
women
woman.
Aging.
Mm-hmm.
So that is costume designer Anne Roth. And Greta Gerwig says, I love that scene so much. The older
That's
woman.
Another one they wanted her to take out.
Yeah. It's a cul-de-sac.
Why?
They were just like, oh, it tightens up the movie. It doesn't really move the plot forward. Oh. And she's just like, no, this is the whole point of the movie.
They said, well, you could just cut it, and actually the story would move on just the same. And I said, if I cut the scene, I don't know what this movie is about. Like, she, that's the thing, when you get Greta Gerwig, you need to make.
You do need that scene.
It's important for the character to realize like people age. It's part of her journey. And that's one of the reasons why this movie's so good. You hire Greta Gerwig, and I think she delivered on all accounts. She got the fun kid stuff, the action, the comedy, but she also got like the existential stuff. And
she understood the nuance of Barbie. Like, it's, you know, and I, you know, I think ultimately dealing with the complexities of this character is an example of where we need to move as a culture.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, something can have issues that we look back on and say, well, we wouldn't make that choice today, mm-hmm. but you can still enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, that's okay. Like, it's, you know, I mean, 16 Candles, it's got some very problematic scenes.
Yeah.
But it also has some empowering scenes and some funny scenes. And so it's like, it just wasn't the way we thought at the time. And
well, at the time, they could have had a really big impact.
Yeah.
Even if they weren't perfect, those could go on to influence people. I mean, there have been films throughout history that is a different mindset. Look at the comedies of the early 2000s.
Well, like with 16 Candles, I remember one of the things people talking about, and I think it was Siskel and Ebert specifically, the scene in the car with Farmer Ted and Molly Ringwald. Where they were like, in any other movie of that time period, they would have had sex.
Sure.
And like, and you think it's building up to that, and then they don't. Like, that was very different and forward thinking and subversive for its time.
Yeah.
It's kind of lost to time now, that what that felt like in that moment to have you think it was going one direction and then take a turn.
Is there an abortion in Animal House? What am I thinking of where the guy has a crush on a girl?
The Last American Virgin.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's where it ends with. The Last American Virgin is really weird.
It's such a good movie.
It's like two totally different movies.
Yeah.
There's like this wacky 80s sex comedy for half of it.
Yeah.
And then the other half is this weird after school special. Mm. Like, because he ends up.
He loves this gal.
He's totally into this girl. Yep. Another guy gets her pregnant, and he ends up friend zoned and taking her to get the abortion,
right?
And that's how the movie ends.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's really good.
And it's,
is that Andrew McCarthy?
I think it might.
And Robert Downey Jr., right?
Hmm.
I don't remember Robert Downey Jr. in it, but it was like, and what was weird is it wasn't like the first half was one thing and the last half was another. It was like every other scene, like toggled back and forth.
That's a really good movie.
It had some really odd tonal shifts.
Jennifer Jason Leigh's in Animal House, right? She's the girl that they bring back in the grocery cart. Am I remembering that right?
I forget.
It doesn't. You know what? Yeah. It doesn't matter.
This movie is great.
And in the ending, of course, she decides to go into the real world. She being Margot Robbie, hangs out with America Ferrara and the dad, who we see the dad very briefly as he's doing Duolingo or whatever, trying to speak Spanish. Yeah. And
what about dad? He'll be okay.
He'll be
fine. They come to him and he's trying to do his thing.
And the way the daughter goes, he'll be all right.
Yeah. Dads can entertain themselves pretty well. We got plenty to do.
Not
you
a
don't
problem.
Have to worry about it.
Yeah. I pulled up Last American Virgin. I do not recognize one actor in this movie.
Oh.
Lawrence Monison?
Nope.
Diane Franklin?
Nope.
Steve Anton, Joe Rubbo, and Louisa Morris.
Joe Rubbo is going to be Joe's porn name.
No, okay, so what's the one with Andrew McCarthy and Robert Downey Jr.? That's the one where it's like art imitating life or vice versa, where Robert Downey Jr. was all messed up in the movie.
Yeah, oh man. Like Bright Lights, Big City?
No. It doesn't matter. That's the one I was thinking of. That's a good movie. So she goes, we think she's going into Mattel. Right, we think she's going in to get a job, and of course she was like, you know,
all the family's like, you can do this.
Yeah,
Barbara Hatch,
I think was her name or whatever, and she's like, I'm going to see a gynecologist, and that's how it ends.
Yeah. I'm Barbara. Yeah, I'm here to see my gynecologist.
Right.
Title
credits.
Card. Yeah, it's fun.
Less than zero.
Thank you.
Oh, there you go.
Yes, which is a fantastic.
Bright Lights, Big City, I think, is the knockoff of Less Than Zero that starred Michael J. Fox.
Okay.
Oh. I'm going to check that out then. Less Than Zero is so good. This is, again, in this world, in this summer of tent poles and sequels and, you know, all of this stuff, this is a breath of fresh air, right? Like, we're going to keep getting, for the rest of the summer, we're going to keep getting the same shit we've been getting, and they may not perform at the theaters. And then you get something like this that is based on a property, like it's for real, but it's taken up a notch.
Yeah.
And it's so smart and it's so funny.
Yeah, it's inventive, it's clever. I mean, it's original enough. It's not, like we said, it's not completely original, the concept
That's
of
fair.
It.
That's fair, yeah.
But it's done in such a way where we don't see this all the time.
Right, right. And it's just, and I think it's a big budget movie done like an art house. It's an art house movie that has like
it's a big budget movie with an art house sensibility.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it works. And obviously it's paying off. Yeah. Well, it's what was the budget on this?
$145 million.
Okay.
So not nothing.
No, that's a big budget.
It's a big budget.
But you know, when you spend that money and it opens to 150 something domestic opening weekend. So, I mean, this dethroned Mission Impossible 7, which had a huge opening itself, and it's right. still going to have a decent one, but I mean, look at these 2 weeks in a row and these three huge movies. It's great for theaters, but then you think about, well, what is their future looking like without
What's
them
next
making
week?
New movies?
Yeah.
I mean, not necessarily this summer, but when this wraps up, like the longer they go without making movies.
That's it. Things,
I think you're going to start seeing, it's going to be like the pandemic again. It's going to be like, come watch The Godfather. Come which is, watch it's just Back so, to the Future.
It's so stupid because they could not be any more tone deaf, these studios. Movies are back and they're doing this.
Yeah.
Like how it's because they're short-sighted.
It's because they're too greedy. They're
yeah.
greedy.
See, all of them. There's two things. One, they're greedy. But two, they don't know what the business model is anymore.
That's
I think
true.
They're scared to death to cut a deal because they don't understand what the business model is. Streaming, everybody's signing up for streaming, but how do you continue to make money that way? Like that's difficult. And then fewer people are going to the movies.
Yep.
Like it's not like it used to be.
Nope.
And, you know, these big, huge movies that if the pandemic had never happened, Mission Impossible 7 would already probably have $500 million.
Oh, that. Sure. Yeah. Sure.
And people now, like, they just don't go to the movies every week
right.
like they used
no.
to.
They know it'll be on Paramount
well,
Plus.
That's
you
what
got
I'm
them out
you
of the habit, and they're just like,
I'll wait 30 days.
Yeah.
But that's why the deals have to be based on streaming. The main thing they're asking for is, and these companies are reporting record profits. I know there's a lot of competition, whatever, but they're making record profits and everyone is watching streaming. So
oh,
they
yeah.
have to have deals on streaming. It can't be deals on just theater residuals. That's
right.
the whole problem.
It's like a band selling a record. Right, like that's the only way I could describe.
Yeah,
compare it. It's like
yeah. stream. They need money from Spotify, not just from.
Not even that,
records.
But it like. That's true.
Yeah.
But what I mean is like the band, an artist for a band, I'll just take a single artist, right? They get paid or they would make more money the more albums they sold. But when you've got, let's take if Timothy Oliphant, for example, somebody watches Justified, that's should be a residual when there's like, okay, Justified season one, episodes 1 through 6 have been watched 30 billion times.
Right.
That's probably not true.
He doesn't see any residuals from that.
He might see $40, right? Like it's
I don't think he does is the problem.
Well, I think
because streaming wasn't built into their contract.
For oh, him. Sure, sure,
that's
sure.
why he does. That's the whole fight.
This is
like,
the problem they always have with new technologies. Yeah. This is the problem they have with when DVDs hit.
Right.
And with when, and then before that VHS, that it's like they don't bake. Cause I mean, they don't know how one, you can't envision what the next thing
right.
is going to
sure,
be.
Sure. Sure.
But
studios
are focusing
get,
on streaming because they know it's not in the contracts.
Right.
Like they are shady. We talk about the stuff that corporations
okay, but
do.
What I don't understand, yeah. and I'm not to yeah. argue, but what I don't understand is like when they make that movie, like whatever that Disney sci-fi thing was that they pulled after 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that save them money if they're not paying them residuals?
I think
I have no idea.
There's some people, not the actors, but I think the creatives get points or something.
Yeah.
There's some, but they get to take the tax write-off. If they don't
yeah.
air it, they write the whole thing off. So it's more about them taking a lump sum $150 million tax write-off than paying them $10 a week or whatever. It's like they want the movie written off.
There's going to come a point. I know that people are just like the AI and yada, 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 and likenesses. And it's like, I don't disagree that there's going to come a point where AI is going to start writing scripts. I that's
yeah.
going to happen
yeah,
at some point.
There were positions out there for people to edit, like redraft AI content.
Oh, really?
They wanted to hire writers to fix AI. So they're not having to do the
God.
Whole thing. But you're like probably like an hourly guy to fix AI scripts.
But you're not going to be able to use George Clooney's likeness. You can't do that. Like,
unless
so
he licenses it.
Unless he licenses, which I don't think would
I don't
ever
think
happen.
Anybody that
no
is like,
current actor right. would be like, no, go ahead. You can use my face.
Okay, but so their estates might.
That's, well, that's
the
problem.
And then all of a sudden, now you got a new John Wayne movie.
Now, that would be the craziest thing.
Yeah. Well, if they can't get working actors currently, they are going to.
Or you get some weird, like, let's take George Clooney's face. You know, your new Batman is a weird combination of Clooney, Kilmer, yeah, Keaton, and West. And they're just put together
Bruce
an AI.
Willis did it for that Russian cell phone commercial.
Yeah.
He did.
They had him like in an action scene, like Bruce Willis would do a movie, but it was just a deep fake. He wasn't there. They filmed it. They put Bruce Willis's likeness on the guy, and he was like tied up, and a bomb was going to go off.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but now we know he probably took that because
for a reason
he couldn't work as much. But you know, it's happened. I mean, look at Christopher Reeve's estate signed off on Christopher Reeve's.
That's true.
In the Flash, yeah. And it's like, you know, if the estates want to make, if they throw him a ton of money, and it's like, well, I mean, it's just. Comes out of nowhere.
It's 2025, and I'm watching a new John Wayne movie.
Hey, I mean, what, 30 years ago, you had Fred Astaire dancing with the Dirt Devil.
That's true. Or Tom and Jerry.
You had John Wayne, I think it was in a Coors commercial.
Oh, you may have. You're right. Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. But the longer this goes on, I mean, they're going to try to do everything they can to not pay these people. But it's like, it's horrible. But how do you think you're making this money?
Yeah, and that's ultimately what mystifies me is it's just like, okay, but then if there's no money to be made for the creators, then they're just going to go get, you know, quote-unquote real jobs, and who's going to create for you?
These writers are going to go write a book, or they're going to go...
A24 is still making movies. Yeah. You know why?
Because they're paying people.
Because they met the demands. So it's like little studio can do it.
If a movie maker, and I mentioned this on the radio the other day, I'm like, if a studio that's making a $5 million movie can afford to do it, why can't a studio that's making a $500 million movie afford to do it?
Greed, that's the only answer.
My favorite part of these idiots is that they're doing interviews. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to take your side.
Yeah.
You know? Like, when Bob Iger's like, well, I, you know, whatever.
They're just unreasonable. Oh, yeah, I'm having my super yacht built, by the way.
Shut up, dude. So.
Anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21, also on Letterboxd at the same.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
This is Tom. Follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online at facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, don't forget to like the page, join the group, and of course, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/Real Spoilers. That's it for this one. Don't worry, next week will be Oppenheimer. So,
say we did Barbenheimer.
We did a two-week Barbenheimer special.
Needed a break. So, until then, Eve regains her popularity. Get ready for a spoiler. Say it twice, 'cause we already warned ya. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.